Okay. Oops. Okay, so I heard you. I was told that the lab questions was going to appear on the final exam. This is somewhat incorrect. I'd be more interested in that you understand the process. For example, that you understand the difference between live and dead forensics, rather than using manual as a tool. The file systems is another example, and those eFetch files. So today we are going to look more at the NTFS file system and the Windows registry. But I plan to just go through my presentation and then let you work as we did yesterday. So file metadata is obtained by analyzing file system artifacts. This includes file name and directory names, the timestamp, size, attributes for read only, and if the file has been deleted or not. File metadata is important to a forensic investigation, because you get to tell, for example, if a file has been tampered with, who has created it, and so forth. The file contents are obtained by analyzing data within files. You can, for example, uniquely identify a file based on its hash value. So, for example, you can use it to identify known good files, and or as an antivirus program, and identify known bad files. It is no surprise that the different files has different. File structure, and they sometimes need special tools to then be able to read them. One example is PE headers for Windows Windows executables. While Word and the JPEG images have different headers and the tails. A header is something that is the describing the content of a file. Strings is also something useful for forensics. For example, you can put together a kind of a password list that you can then use to write the password for encrypted files, for example. For NTFS, and the master file table is the primary source for metadata. It is found in the root directory or the C directory. And it's one of the files that is protected by the operating system, so the user don't have the direct access to it unless they have a raw disk image. So all files and folders in Windows have one MFT record, which we will go deeper into, but they basically contain headers attributes. Attributes is something that explains what the file is. MFT records is something equivalent to inodes in Unix systems. So MFT enter headers starts with a matching number of file 0, and which number which record number it is. That the first record number is for the MFT itself and start with the 0, and then it only incremented with one for each new file on the system. The header sequence number is the number of times this record has been used. So when the file has been deleted, the MFT the record sequence number is incremented with one, and the file is marked as deleted. So when a new file is created on an NTFS system, it will always use the lowest number which is available, so to avoid creating new MFT records. So in this example, if we are creating a new file on this system, the first file or a record that will be replaced is the record number 134. Yeah, NTFS does this to avoid gaps in the numbering, and then again to avoid having to update all the record numbers. It has some flags to tell if the record isn't used or if it's a file or a directory. So, do someone remember the timestamps that we talked about yesterday? This is for Windows. And the Unix systems. So what does the this letter stands for in the Windows? No. It's modified, last accessed, created with a special Windows or Windows only, because it's not on the Unix system, And then you have the MFT record entry, last edit of that node. For Unix, you have the same with modified, last accessed, and this is when the inode has been changed. And the equivalent to created for with Windows is a birth in Linux, but not many system users. It uses that, that function or terminology. So that's standard information attribute. It contains all these timestamps and IDs for security reasons, such as the access control and the things like that. So when Windows shows you the when you write click on a file and you show, I think it was properties or something. And then you can see the timestamps on Windows. So the standard information are those timestamps that Windows will show you. But they are also found in the file name attribute, but they are usually not changed. I'm a bit unsure on the update schema on the file name timestamps, but it's one of the more reliable timestamps. It also has a link to its parent directory and the logical and physical file size, which we talked about yesterday. Yes. MFT, I will only mark a record as deleted. On when it is replaced, that depends on when a new file is created. So as I said, you can change the standard information, the timestamps from within Windows, but not as easily the file name at the timestamps. So it's a battle between criminals to not get caught or trying to avoid detection. So one of those files yesterday, the setmaze, was one of such example. So it's a common anti-forensic technique to mask or modify forensic artifacts. how to make the information less obvious for people to, that is looking for it. Time stomping is the name of modifying the maze times or MAC times. Yes. So here's an example of a time stomp attack, where an attacker has used the proper exe to then install backdoor DLL. He can modify the SI timestamps to match some other legitimate file, for example, command prompt. But the FN timestamps remain unchanged. Some other scenarios that you should be aware of, if that SI maze timestamps can be preserved from its original source. For example, if you copy a file from a removable media or a mounted shares or from an archive, and it's and also from the same volume. This can also be equivalent to when you move files between the different systems, because Unix it interprets C time as a changed the time, while Windows uses C time for created. The data attribute is only present for files. And there is two forms that a file can take. It's a resident or non-resident. So a resident means that the file is small enough to be within this to be stored within this space. So the NTFS file system avoids having to create a reserve lock of sectors for that particular file. And it depends on how. How many bytes or bits these are, and then how many you can fit in here. So an example of such small files are cookies from your web browser. So MFT table will always try to store it as a resident, meaning inside the MFT table. If it's too big, then it will start to have pointers to where clusters, but I want to use start with a different example, and that is when the file is first created and it's small, then that will first be stored in the MFT record. But for example, if the user edits this file and this goes out of this size, it will erase some information and then put a pointer to where you can find find the cluster on the computer disk, and how many clusters this new how many cluster it should read. So it will read from cluster 35 and then continue to read the clusters. And then you can have in a different cluster, you can have a different number, and this is how then it will build up the file. So when this start to become when this starts to grow out of this space, it's called non-resident. Yes, you can, as shown here, you can use MFT to CSV to then extract the files, and this residue, the data, are not deleted. So this is another form of kind of file slack, but it's called MFT slack. So even when the file has grown out of its size, you can also can be lucky to find them. Residue from the previous small file. NTFS have the ability to point to more than one piece of data, which means the content in the file. So the data that attribute can point to more than one file. These files are then called alternate data streams, and you can think of them as files sitting or hiding behind the original file, because Windows Explorer and the command prompt will not list those files out. So yeah, they can be used to then store secret information, or even have hidden executables. There are some legitimate uses of alternate data streams. But they were originally intended as so a way to store extra file metadata. So I guess they have been used by malware to root and hide malicious files. The index attribute are only present for that directories. So MFT records for that directories contains a special attribute called IT30. This this attribute contains information about the files and names and the directories, which is stored under that directory. Here you have also some lack space, so the information is stored as a bit 3 or a binary bit to then perform fast searches for files. So when a file is deleted, the tree will rebalance it itself. But the deleted file will remain in the tree and only be replaced when a new file is created in that directory, and then replacing the previous MFT record. It also contains the file name, file size, and maze timestamps on each file, and the maze timestamps here is from the file name and not from the standard information. Yeah, here is an example of which files are within in this directory. So the Windows registry contains information, settings, options, and other values for programs and hardware installed on the Windows operating system. Although it's presented as a hierarchical database to the user, is actually spread in the different files, which is called Hive files. So these files are not directly human readable, and the only and you will need other tools to then parse this information. So to compare, the registry is always loaded into memory when the computer starts, and there's a difference between how it is on the hard drive and compared to how it is in memory. So these hives are then loaded from the disk into the memory, and then creating this hierarchy. It will even load load so these are non-volatile hive clusters, but there are some volatile ones. For example, the hardware registry is automatically created when the computer first starts, but is never saved to disk. Each user will also have their own own hives for personal settings. These are some examples on forensic artifacts that can be found in the registry. So the registry contains two basic elements, a key and another value. You can think of the register key as a container similar to folders, while register values are non-container object. And similar to files, so a key can hold can also hold multiple subkeys, just like a directory would. An important note is that the keys inherit the last modified time from their parent keys. So when you create a new key under it will always inherit its parents' values. The registry has also something that is called run or run once keys, and these have been exploited by malware to have a persistency on the system, meaning that it will boot when the user logs on. The persistence tab in Redline will analyze many of the common persistence mechanism used by malware. It will combine data from the registry, file system metadata, and the service control manager to then allow the analyst to have a appropriate arch. That's basically it. Do you have any questions? No, then you can just start with the exercises, and you can find them on the blackboard. So I just want to say one thing on the question with question 6, the review the last modified time for the add-ins directory, and what is the significance of this particular timestamp? I forgot to mention that the last modified timestamp for directories is for when something happens within that directory. So, for example, if a file has been added or deleted, then there has been a change in the directory, and then that last modified the timestamp is updated. Yeah, I also forgot to mention that the last modified for any registered keys is also the same for folders. And so when any values inside a registered key is modified, also the parent the directory is last modified timestamp is changed.